Yeah, I mean, the thing that frames this is was around your question too that you put out there in regard to Ruben. I think that's, you know, it's a really important aspect of logopraxis to keep in mind that everything that's described in the text is a reality at some level within our own life, and that if we have a resistance to the idea that the proprium is nothing but profane, then we're not seeing things clearly, you know. So we tend to, oh no, I can't go there, I'm not that, and that immediately blocks the capacity to be open to seeing the state that exists with regard to proprium. And so what this reveals is that as you go more interiorly, we read things in sort of time, you know, like there's this movement of Israel, and then there's Reuben goes up into his father's bed and commits the sin as with Bilhah. So, but actually, it's, you know, when you think about it in terms of state, it's just when you move more interiorly, you have the basis for seeing what is in existence, you know. So everything that's described in the text must come to pass. It's not like it might be this or it might be that. The text, that's not what's described here. That, you know, from Genesis to Revelation is the unfolding of the Lord within the human mind. So that's something we need to remind ourselves of, so that when these states do arise, we're not, well, whatever happens, happens, I suppose. So that's the thing. But one of the things that struck me about this reading and made it clear to me again is the difference between natural temptation and spiritual temptation. And if you want to know what natural temptation is, it's always associated with self-improvement. That's what natural temptation is based around. And it's based around the idea that you have a self that is autonomous and independent and can be improved. So natural temptation is always about success and failure. And it's always about what we term in logopraxis, the merit-guilt cycle. That's how you know if it's a natural temptation that's operating. Spiritual temptation is always linked to giving up the idea that either what is of the hells or what is of heaven is yours. It comes from you. So spiritual temptation is always about the struggle to give up the idea that you have life in yourself. That's what a spiritual temptation is. So at a spiritual level, intellectually, we know we don't have life in ourselves, but we've always, you know, we're constantly falling into the belief that we do. That's why, you know, that's why we get struck with negative emotions, and they have an impact on us. And so there's always this pulling back, and that comes out through having to carry your cross, take up your cross. That whole section in there is about giving up the idea that you have power in yourself. And that's the spiritual sort of level, and then the celestial. So the natural man believes without any shadow of a doubt that he is a self or she is a self. We are a self. The spiritual man intellectually knows that it's not a self, that the self is an appearance that is given by the Lord, but keeps falling in and out of the belief that it has a self. And at a celestial level, it's absolutely clear that the self is an appearance, that the Lord alone has life. And so temptation, so it's a state of rest. There's no temptation involved. So those are the three levels that are dealt with in that, in the story, with regard to taking up your cross and then linking that to the towers, and then the army that comes and assessing the situation. So, and yeah, you know, that's sort of what we struggle with, getting out of the haze of the natural so that we can see more clearly from a spiritual perspective, and enter into what that battle is really about. So at a natural level, it's always about civil and moral life. At a spiritual level, it's not about the civil and moral life. It's about our belief as to who and what we actually are in relation to the Lord.